the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And a little while, and you will see me. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading appointed for this, the fifth Sunday of Easter, is taken from the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of
of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again.
Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Not long ago, I watched the Ken Burns documentary on Benjamin Franklin. Franklin, who's been dubbed one of the 18th century's most consequential figures. Consequential, of course, as an author, consequential as a printer, as an inventor, as an entrepreneur, but remembered by most of us as a statesman, as a patriot, as one who was so involved in the forming of our country. Not that all of his ideas, though, were consequential, at least among those that heard him and those that began the government with him. One of the ideas that Franklin had that wasn't at all popular was his belief that public officials should not be paid for their work. And so during the time that he served as governor of Pennsylvania, he set aside all of the salary that he received. And then following his death in 1790, it was revealed that he had left more than 2,000 British pounds to the cities of Boston and to Philadelphia and to the state of Pennsylvania. The money came, though, with a rather convoluted distribution theme. Most of it could not be spent until 100 and 200 years later, when it would have earned a good deal of interest. And thus, of course, Franklin's dictum, a penny saved is a penny earned. But 100 and 200 years later. And so when the money finally came to be dispersed in 1990, people who had no relationship to Franklin whatsoever, some of them probably no memory of him hardly at all, and yet they all benefited from the inheritance that had been left them, which they had done nothing to earn and they had done nothing at all to deserve. They benefited from what had been earned by another, and it had been distributed to them 1 and 2 centuries later. To an immeasurably greater degree, we have benefited from what has been earned by another, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by Christ and Him crucified. And now He is distributing to us centuries later through His word and sacraments all of the benefits and the blessings that He earned on the cross that we didn't deserve. We prosper spiritually today, we prosper eternally today, not because of what we have done or because of what we might do. We prosper spiritually and eternally today only because we're connected. Only because we're connected by grace, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father by the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason that we are sons and daughters of God who inherit from Him all that He has to give. As He says in today's text, I am the vine, Jesus says, you are the branches. If a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, from apart from me you can do nothing. That's a vitally important connection that God has already by His mercy established with each and every one of us. A very important connection. Especially when you compare it in relationship to the other connections that we have in life. And indeed, all of us have so many connections often that we're not even aware of. We become connected to so many things when we're but infants. We're connected to parents from whom we've received our initial identity. And then we become connected to so many other things that they're connected to the children that they bear, who then are our siblings, the community in which they dwell, the people that they know, their parents and their brothers and their sisters and their friends and their occupations and their lifestyles and their values and their belief systems become ours because we are connected to them. We're connected. We're a plugged-in people, plugged-in to people and places and things that are supposed to help us define who we are so that we don't go through life wondering what it's all about. And yet, you look at all of these connected people that all around us seem so disconnected. So many of them that still find themselves asking, who am I? What am I doing? What am I here for? What's life's purpose? Is this all that there is to it? Some of us are old enough to remember the song that was written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David back in the restless 1960s. You remember the song? It was called What's It All About, Elfie? In retrospect, they were strange years in the 1960s that we lived in, some of us. Razi Zacharias, in his book entitled A Shattered Visage, writes a few pages about those restless years back in the 1960s that were so foundational to what we have become in our society today and set the course and the pace and the direction that our culture and our society would take. And Razi Zacharias writes in this Shattered Visage about that era where everybody was asking, who am I? Where am I going? What's it all about? And he says, it's a rather strange question when you think about it. After all, dogs don't wonder about their dogginess, and cats don't wonder about their cattishness. It seems that we humans, supposedly the most informed of all God's species, are the only beings in all of God's creation who raise the question, who am I? Why? Why do we even ask the question? Isn't it in good part because we all, by birth and by nature, have been separated from the one who gives us our identity? By birth and by nature, separated, disconnected from God? Isn't it because we are, by our sins, born disconnected from God? Your iniquities, Scripture says, have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Disconnected. So disconnected that apart from God, we lose that identity that is absolutely essential for the fulfillment of our minds, our bodies, our souls. They don't become connected until we have that connection with God. An identity without which we're not only lost, but we feel terribly lost. The mind connected to all else around us. We feel lost. We feel ultimately alone, a void within us that won't be filled no matter how much we try to fill it with the stuff that the world gives it to fill us with. Remember Solomon of old? He was the son of King David, wealthy son of King David, who, feeling the emptiness that had resulted from his sin against God, tried to fill that emptiness and that void with anything, with everything that he could, and he had the money to do it. And describing every pursuit that he had taken to fill that void, he summed it all up toward the end of his life in these telling words from his writing in Ecclesiastes. He said, I denied myself nothing that my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and then looking around at all that he had done and accomplished, and he said, and this was the reward for all of my labor. And yet, he says, when I have surveyed all that my hands had done and all that I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Try everything that his mind could grasp in acquiring all that his great wealth could afford. Solomon found that disconnected from God, there really is nothing. Nothing but monotony. Nothing but a circularity to life, a going around and around and around, and day by day repeating itself, a fatality to every human endeavor, so it seems. A futile tediousness in life from which he couldn't free himself no matter what he did. Sort of like the famous character, remember, of Greek mythology, Sisyphus, who was condemned and sentenced to roll this mass of stone to the top of the hill and then to watch it roll back down again, only to have to push the stone back up to the top of the hill, only to watch it roll down again. And so it was that he did that endlessly, a part of his hell being to execute that pointless action from which nothing ever came except the vain repetition that only compounded his emptiness. Be connected to anything and everything in this world that you want to be connected to. And if you're not connected to God through Jesus Christ, none of the rest of it will ultimately do. None of it will ultimately do. It says, the ancient church father, St. Augustine, said, Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. How important, how imperative that we be connected to God through his Son and our Savior Jesus Christ by the work of his Holy Spirit in our lives. And how thankful we should be today that God has done for us what we could never have done for ourselves. That's why St. John says in today's gospel, or in today's epistle, he says, in this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. How thankful we should today be that God in his grace has connected us to himself through his Son. We were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest of mankind, St. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. See how important that connection to Christ is? It gives us life when we were dead. And then picking up on that same theme and using the same similar words, Paul says this and speaks of this Christ connection in his letter to the Colossians. When you were dead in your transgressions, he says, he, God, made you alive together with Christ, having forgiven all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Our connection to God is a Christ-centered connection. Our connection to God is a cross-centered connection. A divinely initiated, a nail-punctuated cross connection, which occurred when all of the blessings of redemption and salvation were won for us by Christ upon the cross and then become ours as we are washed, as we sang in the hymn, in his blood through holy baptism. That sacrament wherein God connects us to himself by clothing us in the righteousness of his Son. Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ? His righteousness becomes ours. Our sin had become his. What was it that Jesus said about the power of his word? In today's gospel, he said, you're already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. A powerful cleansing word. So he not only creates faith within us, but then he throughout our lives sustains that faith as we're connected to him through the word which he gives us and through the sacraments that he gives us. The sacred writings, St. Paul calls them, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. A word that connects him to us and also, by the way, to one another. Talk about connections. It's a word that connects us not only to him, but also to one another in a special way as we together receive his word and his sacraments. And thus of baptism, Paul says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. You see, through baptism we're connected to each other as the people of God. And of the Lord's Supper, he says, is not the cup of blessing that we bless a participation in the blood of Christ and the bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? It connects us to Christ. He connects himself with us through his very body and blood. Since therefore, he says, it is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Our being together here today at the Lord's table says that we're connected in a special way as God's confessing people. We're connected to him, and we're connected to one another. and singing together the liturgy of the church, we declare that we're connected as God's people to Him and to one another. As Paul says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in your midst, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Liturgically, connected as His people not only to one another but to the church of the past as well. Connected to angels and to archangels and to all the company of heaven, with whom we laud and magnify, we say your name, and evermore praising you and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So here we are, connected to each other and to so many others in such a special way. Couldn't happen anywhere else. And all because we've been connected by grace and through faith in Jesus Christ to God the Father, by the work of His Spirit. Christ the vine, we the branches, Christ from whom and apart from whom we can do nothing. Connected forever, and nothing in all of creation, St. Paul says, is going to be able to disconnect us from God. I'm convinced, he says, that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the ultimate connection. Connected to a faithful friend, connected to a divine brother, connected to a holy advocate that we have in the highest places. That's being connected now and forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Rise for prayer. Let us now pray for the whole people of God in Jesus Christ and for all people according to their needs. Today we recall by name in our prayers those from among us facing medical challenges or ongoing medical challenges, including Mim Balzer and Henry Newman and Guy Takamatsu. We pray also for those from our congregation unable to attend our services. Today we pray for Mai Pham and Josie Gonzalez, Willard Sievert, and for Jack Thomas. We pray for the church at large and for Concordia Theological Seminary of Fort Wayne, Indiana, as they prepare to select another president in the weeks to come. And we pray for our own members of our congregation who are also those who serve on synodical boards, namely Carol Hack Broom, Terrence Lung, John Blaken, and Michael McThrow. So for these and others, let us now pray. Heavenly Father, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, has taught us that all his disciples abide in him and his words abide in them, that as they do, they may ask what they wish and it will be done for them. We pray to you through the same Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit that we may now ask what is pleasing in your sight and in accord with Jesus' name and then receive it from your bounty and benevolence. That by the work of the Holy Spirit through the blessed gospel, we may ever remain in Jesus and his words and doctrine in us, and as branches on the vine, we may bear in our lives fervent love for one another and for all, manifesting itself in abundant good works of every kind. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the help of the Spirit in our sufferings, so that we Christians recognize trials and challenges as the pruning that Jesus promised, in order that we may bear more fruit to the glory of our Father and so prove to be Jesus' disciples. Let us pray to the Lord. For a genuine eagerness and readiness to tell the good news about Jesus, let us pray to the Lord. That amid all trials and regrets, recalling our blessed baptism into Jesus Christ, we too may go on our way rejoicing. Let us pray to the Lord. For unmarried Christians who seek a godly spouse, that they may not grow discouraged, but trust that God, who provided for Adam when no helper was yet found suitable for him, still provides for his creatures in ways beyond all that we ask or think. Let us pray to the Lord. That our Lord would defend us from false doctrine, that we would listen to the words of the blessed apostles, and that with boldness and clarity we would confess in our lives and with our lips that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh, and that he lives and reigns. Let us pray to the Lord. For our beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, unable to gather with us for this foretaste of the feast to come, that the Holy Spirit may comfort and support Mim and Henry and Guy, Mai and Josie, Willard and Jack, let us pray to the Lord. For the church, that the Lord would guide the process by which the next president of Concordia Theological Seminary of Fort Wayne is chosen, and that this man be a blessing to the institution and to the church, and that the Lord would continue to bless and serve others through Carol and Terrence and John and Michael in their positions as they serve the church at large. Let us pray to the Lord. For the president of our nation, for our governor, for our mayors, legislators, and judges, that they may execute their offices diligently according to the constitution of our land and according to the will of Almighty God, let us pray to the Lord. And that we may love and cherish the sacred Eucharist, that we may use it eagerly, and by faith fostered therein remain connected to Jesus, the true and genuine vine, let us pray to the Lord. Father, grant these our requests, and whatever else you know that we need, supply for us, your needy children, who live and who love you through Christ, who himself lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The
the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.